If you do not believe the brand mart of Cianjur Rice at supermarket, most of the product is from here, Cisayong. It is good quality of the rice. The soaking rice here from 1 quintal reaches 50 until 60 kilograms. Really, the soaking rice can produce much. If used, fertilizer is suitable and balanced. Quality of the rice of Cisayong Regency received international certification from Institute Market Ecology Organization or IMO. Organic Food Certification Council is from Swiss and has given certificate to more than 300 farmer groups throughout the world that produce a number of organic plants.
Nah, ada yang kami produksi khususnya dari Cisayong, umumnya karena digabung satu kabupaten.
We produce organic rice especially from Cisayong, generally from 31 regencies. We have exported tons of organic rice and even hundreds of tons. Its name is Kapokan Simpatik, which has been exported to Germany, the United States of America and Swiss. There are three types of rice which are exported. There are red rice, black rice, white rice. Those types of rice are organic. Why can the rice be exported? Because the rice has been certificated by IMO. IMO is an international certification agency, so the rice can be sold abroad. Without certification label, the rice cannot be exported.
Alhamdulillah, dengan adanya letusan Galunggung itu fenomena alam.
Alhamdulillah, because of the eruption of Mount Galunggung, Cisayong villagers enjoy positive impact. The increase of the product is around 5-7%.
From Jakarta, here is Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia, only on Indonesia Today.
Voice listener, after this, you will watch the first episode of The Inside from Voice of Indonesia. So stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital mobile application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Indonesia to the world.
The Inside. Connecting all voices.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening for all participants of this webinar, specially presented by the English Service of Voice of Indonesia, the Overseas Service of Radio Republik Indonesia. And this edition of this webinar, hosted by me, Rahma, will be carrying out the theme, The Insight, Young Generation's Insight on the 80th Indonesian Independence. Before we begin, let's sing the national anthem of the Republic of Indonesia, namely Indonesia Raya. Thank you so much, everyone, all of the participants, for singing the national anthem of the Republic of Indonesia, Indonesia Raya. And we are back on this webinar, the Insight, Young Generation's Insight on the 80th Indonesian Independence, as Indonesian people across the country and of course also abroad just celebrated the 80th year of Indonesia's Independence Day on August 17th in a festive and exciting mood. So Voice of Indonesia also brings this excitement here through this webinar to reflect on the 80 years of independence of Indonesia, to maintain and even increase nationalism, especially among the young generation. And on this occasion, we'll be also finding out the perspectives on Indonesia now and the future through today's sources that are joining us. The first one, we have Ibu Shifa Sharifa, the lecturer of Jakarta State University for Pancasila, Indonesia State Ideology and Citizenship Education Study Program, and also Bapak Dr. Salut Muhyiddin, the Indonesian Diaspora Network President for NSW Australia. And on this occasion, we also would like to greet the participants from the Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship, or BSBI, initiated by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia. So without further ado, we'll be finding out the perspectives on Indonesia now and the future, and also the reflection of this year's Indonesia's Independence Day celebration with our sources, Ibu Shifa Sharifa, the lecturer of Jakarta State University and Pancasila and Citizenship Education Study Program. So, Ibu Shifa Sharifa, please present. We'll be finding out the presentation and your perspective, please.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Rahma.
Yes.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Shalom, Om Swastiastu, Namo Buddhaya, peace to all of us. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for inviting me as a speaker in this occasion. Let me introduce myself. My full name is Shifa Sharifa. Just call me Shifa. I am the lecturer of the Department of Pancasila and Civic Education, Universitas Negeri Jakarta. I'm not positioning myself as the expert or academician. I'm positioning myself as the learner because I'm still learning too. But I hope today that I could share anything that I know that may be valuable to all of us. Okay. Could I share my screen?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ms. Rahma.
You're welcome.
Could you see the slides?
Yes, we can see the slides, then it will be maximized.
Okay, so today I'm going to explain about the roles of education in shaping nationalism. Let's begin by asking you a critical question, especially for the younger generations who become the participants in this occasion. So in the context of independence, are we the heirs or the pioneers? Some people say that we are the heirs of the independence as it is achieved by our national heroes. So our task is merely to preserve the independence. And some argue that we are the pioneers as well because we have the responsibility to develop these nations. Which one is true or correct? So I personally assume that both are correct because indeed we are the heirs of the independence achieved by our national heroes, our founding fathers and mothers, and we have the responsibility to fill the independence with positive actions. And at the same time, we also the pioneers of independence because we have the responsibility to answer the new challenges such as globalization, social disintegration, and social injustice. So move to the next question. So we have the need for the reflections. 8 years of Indonesian independence is a big achievement. It is not only being free from the invaders or colonialism, but also the emergence of the new challenges, as I told you earlier. And we are the heirs as well as the pioneers of the independence. We have the responsibilities to find the problems of the challenge that we are facing today. And we have the strong power or the greatest asset. It is nationalism. One motherland, one nation, one language. This is the quote, comes from Sumpah Pemuda. So the question is, does nationalism exist among our younger generation? I believe it does. So we can take a closer look to our young generation's strengths and challenges. Our young generation, that's including Generation Z or Gen Z and Alpha generations, are digital natives. They are familiar with the use of technology, so they have the opportunity to introduce our national and traditional cultures through the social media. But the challenge is ensuring that they are not overwhelmed or overconsumed or overly influenced by the foreign cultures, because sometimes the foreign cultures can replace our national cultures. Second, our young generation is critical in responding to issues and stays up to date with the recent information. So they have potential to care about justice. But the challenge is they are vulnerable to disinformation. And they are also inclusive and open to diversity as the result of their open-minded characteristic. So they can strengthen the Bhinneka Tunggal Ika or unity in diversity. But the challenge is how to ensure that they can think globally but act locally. So I personally believe that nationalism is still held by our young generations. Because, for example, we know that in Indonesia, there are many of K-popers. So they idolize the Korean actors, Korean singers. I think that's okay for them to idolize actors from foreign countries. Because sometimes, even though they idolize them, they still imagine that their idols could recognize our national cultures too. So in Twitter, a few weeks ago, I found that our young generation edited the pictures of Korean actors or Korean singers, so Chanyeol, for the example. In the past, it was edited wearing batik. But at the end, batik could be recognized by the Korean actor and the Korean singers. They wear batik to make their fans happy. So this is the good or the positive action that our young generation could do to introduce our national cultures. And besides of that, we also know about Pacu Jalur. We know that our young generation sticks to their smartphone. They love to surf in social media. They love to create contents containing about our traditional cultures or national things. So they post about Pacu Jalur and it goes viral. At the end, it was imitated by international actors such as Muhammad Saleh from Liverpool Football Club, and then Marc Marquez also did his celebrations by acting like Pacu Jalur movement after winning the race in Germany. So what are the roles of education in sustaining nationalism? So education has the function in internalizing Pancasila's values and national history. We know that Pancasila is our national ideology and it should be educated to our students. It is our shared identity, and the students must know about its values through the five silas. And we also have the responsibility through educational institution to teach about national history, because it is needed to inspire the young generations to preserve the nationalism as well as to respect the national heroes. So education also has a function in building characters and national identity. The characters are needed to sustain nationalism. For the example, love to the homeland, gotong royong or collaborations, tolerance, and spirit of the united. National identity is also introduced with national symbols such as red, white flag, national anthem, national symbols like Garuda Pancasila, and then national slogan Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, and other guiding philosophies. And the third, the role of education is becoming a filter against globalization. So education functions as a filter, enabling the young generation to adopt positive values while rejecting those that conflict with national principles such as individualism, consumerism, and foreign culture. So does the current curriculum already cover all these aspects? So if we take a look to the regulation of the Ministry of Education number 12/2024, the structure of our curriculum includes curricular, co-curricular, and extracurricular. So curricular is the main learning activities being taught in the classroom. It can be formed in a range of academic subjects such as math, religious education, Indonesian language, history, etc. And then co-curricular is the supporting learning activities directly related to the academic subjects such as field practice, scientific writing, or project work, and at least being taught through Pancasila Students Profile Strengthening Project, or P5. In Indonesia, we call Proyek Penguatan Profil Pelajar Pancasila, or P5. And then we also have extracurricular activities outside the formal curriculum, such as scout sport. Scout also teach the students about the nationalism values such as democracy, honesty, care, empathy, collaboration, etc. And sport also teach the students about sportsmanship and teamwork. So a glimpse of P5 or the Pancasila Student Profile Strengthening Project. So it is a part of the Merdeka curriculum in the form of project-based learning that generally aims to strengthen the students' characters in accordance with the Pancasila Student Profile. What is the Pancasila Student Profile? It is the student which has the characteristic of Pancasila's values, and this emphasizes six core dimensions like faith and piety in God Almighty, noble character, global diversity, cooperation, independence, and critical reasoning. It is carried out through thematic projects. If I'm not mistaken, that there are seven thematics projects. The example, local wisdom, diversity, entrepreneurship, technology, and it is designed to be flexible and may run for several weeks. In early childhood education, it may consist 1 to 2 projects per year, while at the junior and senior high school, students typically participate in two to three projects per year. So what I want to emphasize that it is the projects run by the school. So it is not the project for every single subject in the school, but this is done with the collaborations among teachers in the school. So does the curriculum shape nationalism among our young generation? Yes, there is an effort to sustain our nationalism through educational institutions. According to the Ministry Regulation number 12/2024, that in early childhood education, they are educated by doing some meaningful games, emphasizing religious values, noble character, fostering identity, and introducing the foundation of literacy, math, science, technology, and art, as well as the P5. And then in primary schools, the nationalism values is being educated through Pancasila education, Indonesian language, religious, and character education, plus P5. In junior high school, they also being taught about Pancasila education, Indonesian language, social studies, religious, and character education, plus P5. The same goes with the senior high school, by history education. But in the higher education, as far as I know, that the P5 is not implemented here because the national values are educated through Pancasila education and civic education, religious education, and Indonesian language. So there are two measures that specifically discuss about national values, which are Pancasila education and civic education. So these two are different. And this subject are four mandatory subjects according to the law number 12, 2012 concerning higher education. So I think that's the thing that I can share with you about the curriculum perspectives to sustain our nationalism. So if you have any question, probably you can ask or convey the question. Thank you so much.
Shifa Sharifa, thank you so much for a glimpse, really meaningful explanation, elaboration on the sustaining increasing nationalism among the young generation. And for participants who would like to ask question, you can ask the questions in the next segment. And for the next elaboration, we'll be finding out more from the other perspective about maintaining and increasing nationalism among Indonesians abroad, especially the young generation, from Bapak Dr. Salut Muhyiddin from the Indonesian Diaspora Network, President for New South Wales, Australia.
Thank you, Mbak Rahma, and also appreciate for Voice of Indonesia, NRI. So we always say Salam Diaspora, Salam 24 hours, because some of us may already go to sleep, some of us may just awake. I'm Salut Muhyiddin, so I has been appointed to represent of Indonesian Diaspora Network Global. So we have almost in 50 chapters around the world one, and then please allow me to give some perspective from diaspora about youth contribution, especially to celebrate the 80 years of independence of Indonesia. So I would like to start the quote with our founder of our country, Sukarno. So everyone knows about him, it's about how his spirit to see that the strong power of the idea of having youth one in particular. This is kind of like the famous quote that almost like everyone knows, if you give 1,000 senior one, we can also still already putting moving the mountain one. But if you just giving only about 10, the youth one is kind of like this shaking all the around the world one. Is it kind of like having kind of like that's how strong and powerful of the energy as well as the spirit of the youth one. So coming from this perspective of youth diaspora one, I've been thinking that the youth has also been contributed to Indonesia one. But the question is that how that we've seen that the diaspora perspective here. So I'm going to see from the perspective of what happened in the past and what's currently have, and then what's going to be happen in the future. Most of the of us agree that they may have kind of like different characteristics, they have different strategy, they have different challenge they have. But for sure, kind of like in terms of focus, they're not only covering about the local issues, like in the past, we're talking about, how to feel of the independence. Even kind of like in the first one, when we were kind of like in the United Nations delegation one, this is like one of our youths who's kind of like negotiate internationally talking about, we need to talk about the independence and then how to become more autonomous of the country one. Over the time, they have kind of like different characteristics, not only talking about the strengthening our nation, but also talking about what is our contribution to the global one. So, for example, our former president, B.J. Habibie, he's already starting kind of like showing that, hey, a lot of Indonesian is also very smart. And then he could kind of like saying that we can also contribute globally, like kind of like making contribution to build Lotanio and then the aircraft. But also a recent one during the pandemic, for example, one of our scientists, Karina Jo, also kind of like part of the team who's kind of like talking about how to kind of like solve the issues about this pandemic one. So this is just kind of like give you some idea that has kind of like being some shifting from the past, present, and could be the future one. We also have kind of like the Ministry of Sri Mulyani, who's kind of like was the director of the World Bank, right? And then some of the son of Enhadini is kind of like the producer for Minion, the impeccable movie one. Also some actors kind of like moving to the Hollywood movie one. Okay, so a lot of people kind of like having contribution and as well as some challenge as well. The question is that what's going to happen and also what the contribution. I would like to kind of like start with kind of like, yes, in terms of quantity, our diaspora increase over time. This is just based on the place where they were born. If they were born in Indonesia, they categorize as Indonesian diaspora. But Indonesian diaspora is not only those who were born. Okay, so this is just give you an idea distribution where they were now. So yes, in Asia, they're kind of like what, big one because of workers, because of the economic reason, but also these days, people move overseas not only because of working, but also could be marriage. So the mixed marriage one, because of their ancestor, like Suriname people, like New Caledonia people. So they were from Indonesia, but then they already living there. So in a way that today, Indonesian diaspora, not only the first generation, those who were born in Indonesia, but also those who were born in the country. Just to give you an example in Australian context, like in New South Wales and in Victoria. So you can see that, yes, the senior people mostly were born in Indonesia. But look, the young one, the youth one, there are more and more and more coming in is those who were born in the country itself. Yes, some little bit part of them is coming from Indonesia were born. So basically they moved when they were young. But look, the youth coming to a country because of study, because of working, and then they may marriage, and then could be mixed marriage with other country. So more and more people, diaspora today, consists of first and second generation. In the future, it could be the third and fourth generation, right? So the question is that what's going to happen in terms of contribution and also challenge one? I'll just give you an example here in Sydney. We do have School of Bahasa Indonesia. What we're thinking about, yes, we still have one nation as Indonesia, but as Ibu Siva from UNJ saying that the language itself is one of the culture ones. So we are really fortunate that there are still some second generation, and maybe they are also third generation, they're still kind of like learning Bahasa Indonesia just to kind of like cultivate the Bahasa. So this is could be one of the contribution one. So almost like every year it's growing the number of the people, the children who really kind of like want to learn Bahasa. But the question is that until when? Because a lot of studies shows that the a lot of language in the within the family could be like within third generation or fourth generation is diminished. Spanish language, Latin language is kind of like diminished after kind of like the third and half or even fourth generation. So what about Indonesia? Maybe they were Indonesia, but they couldn't speak or not even culture one. Another one is our friends diaspora in Melbourne. They already kind of like putting some a lot of activities in terms of culture. For example, during independence, they were kind of like celebrating with having Reok Ponorogo just to show up of this is the culture of Indonesia, also kind of like can contribute to be part of Indonesian culture. Ibu Siva is saying about the K-pop one. Yes, it become like more one. So maybe Reok Ponorogo also could become like part of this one, right? So this is kind of like having kind of like the contribution of the youths everywhere, how to kind of like manage not only about thinking about the issues local and global one, but also how about to keep maintaining the love of the country, the nation itself. So in short, what I'm going to say here is basically, yes, each generation of youth and diaspora face different contexts, but also different challenges. But then there always there's a way of Indonesia to kind of like to have some adaptability and also keeping the interests of the young one to kind of like more patient about their culture and their heritage. So the contribution could be in the politics, in went to the parliament because of the changing the nationality could be, but still they love Indonesia. The contribution in terms of science, in terms of economics, in terms of culture, but they always keep Indonesia relevant on the global stage. So one thing that I would like to highlight though, over the time, still kind of like one thing remain constant is they love Indonesia and the desire to contribute to its progress and sustainability. Even how hard it is, there's still some Indonesia who really kind of like keeping this kind of like idea of one nation is a good one. I think that's how I would like to close my discussion here. And then any question will be welcome. Thank you very much. Salam Diaspora.
Salam Diaspora, salam 24 hours from Jakarta, Indonesia. Thank you so much, Bapak Saluhud Muhyiddin from the Indonesian Diaspora Network President for New South Wales, Australia. And we'll be opening the Q&A sessions from the participants to the sources right after this. So stay tuned on this webinar, The Insights Young Generations, Insights on the 80th Indonesian Independence.
You're still on The Insight, connecting all voices.
Thank you for still joining us on this webinar, specially presented by Voice of Indonesia. And this webinar carries the theme, The Insights, Young Generations Insight on the 80th Indonesian Independence. And now we kindly invite you all, the participants of today's webinar, to ask five questions to today's sources. You can raise hand or type your questions in the chat feature. We'll be waiting for the questions. So once again, we are really excited to hold this webinar, especially after the vibe of the Indonesia's Independence Day celebration. Well, now we already have participants raising hand to ask questions to today's sources. The first one, we kindly invite Fatan. Good morning, Fatan.
Good morning.
Okay. So, Fatan, to which sources you would like to give the questions, or to both our sources? And What questions that you have?
Okay, thank you. But before that, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Gatran Razid Malik. I'm from the BSBI participants from Universitas Negeri Jakarta. And I'm here today with Manoj Katka from Nepal, one of the participants from the BSBI program.
Oh, hello.
Hello. And today we're very thrilled to join you guys here. But I have a question for Ms. Shifa. And maybe the question is, like, we know that there are many viral things that you have mentioned before in your presentation, for example, like the Marc Marquez celebration during the Session Ring GP Germany win. And then we also have many other things that maybe like in social media where it gets famous and then it gets adopted to worldwide. And do you think this is a good movement? Because like we all know that some of our culture is being claimed by other country, and how do we as a young generation prevent our culture to gone in Indonesia, and how can we preserve it into a better things? And do you think it's a good movement to do it, and how can we do it? Thank you. Or maybe maybe there's another question from Manush. Do you have any question, or maybe you want to share anything about the BSBI program, and maybe your thoughts on the program?
Thank you, Gadan. Everything went well. We enjoyed a lot, and the BSBI buddies, I really enjoyed every moment, and yeah. So I'm really thankful for everything. Thank you, Gadan.
Hey, that's all from us. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Gatan, for the questions. And now we kindly allow Ibu Shifa Sharifa from Jakarta State University, or UNJ, to answer the questions, please.
Well, thank you so much, Gatan, for your questions. And hi, Manoj. Okay. So Gatan asked me, is the celebration did by Marc Marquez or the Korean actors or international actors idolized by our young generation about our national culture is a good movement? I personally assume it is, because sometimes the fans tends to imitate what their idols do. So if their idols do or wear or love the cultures of Indonesia, so the young generation would be inspired to preserve it. So that's the good movement, I think. And for the next questions, what can we do as young generation to preserve our national cultures to be not claimed by other countries? So I think it's by being proud first, by being proud of our national cultures, and then preserve it through to our daily basis. So we know that, for the example, batik is one of our national clothes. So we wear batik when it comes to Wednesday or once a week. So that is a form of nationalism. So yeah, I think that's one of the example to preserve our cultures. It is a complex equation actually, but if you want to preserve the national cultures, traditional cultures, the things that you can do is by being proud, by doing that in your daily basis, and then introducing it to your friends, to your, to other people in the world. So it is not claimed by other countries. Thank you so much, Gatan. I think that's all my questions. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ibu Shifa, for answering the question, and hopefully it answers the questions from Gatan. And Ibu Shifa, maybe the young generation can also seize the massively increasing digital platform. How do you think, though, to ensure the young generation keep loving and promoting Indonesian culture amid the massive foreign culture as well? How's your view about that?
So I think to preserve nationalism among our young generation is a shared responsibility among the parents or families, societies, and educational institutions. So nationalism is internalized in the family and then educated through educational institutions and then preserved in the society. So how to ensure that globalization or the advance of technology, the emergence of technology, doesn't diminish our nationalism is by balancing the positive impacts with the existence of negative impact. So we know that the existence of social media can make the young generation be vulnerable to disinformation or to get affected by adult things or pornography. So our responsibility is to make sure that the use of technology is used positively by our young generation. So the technology can be used to our learning activities. So by showing the digital posters or infographics, and then the audiovisual contents that may trigger the students to think critically or to think deeply. So yeah, our responsibilities is by ensuring that the use of technology or the impact of globalization doesn't diminish our nationalism.
Just like the trend of aura farming on the pasture yellow trend, I think that's one of a great examples to collaborate the digital platform and also Indonesian culture to show the world. Okay, thank you so much, Ibu Shifa, for your insight. And now we're still waiting for the other questions from the participants. In the meantime, we also would like to find out more insights from Bapak Salut Muhyiddin. Pak Salut, now we are looking forward for your insight about implementing nationalism in our daily life, but abroad, because the challenges must be different. Could you share your experiences, please?
Okay, thank you, Barahma. Yes, I think the idea of having sample that's still very valid and very strong, effective way to do it. One, okay, says like if we would like to have our second generation still preserve their culture and so on. So we have to show them that the parent is also kind of like having vision enough. Because I think the same thing in Indonesian context, like if the senior or the old generation showing not really tolerate about corruption and so on, so the young one will also kind of like just reflecting what they have done, right? The same thing with the implementing about how to preserve the cultures, the curiosity about that one. It's coming also from within the house, but also from the neighborhoods, like the community of Indonesia. Without that one, it's less. Yes, one or two people may be like having curiosity as individual. They want to learn about Indonesian heritage and Indonesian culture, but without the trigger and without motivation, I think it's getting less and less. As I said, a lot of studies about the language itself, so like after second and half generation or the third generation, mostly about diminished because of not being preserved. I think that's one of my response at this moment.
Thank you, Pak Salat Muhyiddin, for the answer. And now we have another questions from the participant who just raised hands. We have Jeffrey Liando. Hello, Jeffrey. Good morning. Hello, Jeffrey. Where are you?
Hello, good morning.
Oh.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. I can hear you clearly. Okay, Pak Jeffrey, first of all, could you please introduce yourself and convey your questions to the sources? Thank you.
All right. My name is Jeffrey Liando. I'm from Melbourne, Australia. I'm one of the executive board in IDN Global and also representing the diaspora ethnic Kawanua or Minahasa. I live in Australia, Melbourne, but I also involved in the cultural activities in Melbourne. All right, so my question is for Mr. Salut, but also probably for Ibu Shiva. So basically, from the demographic that Mr. Salut already showed us, and then with the reality that we have the organization called IDN, Indonesian Diaspora Network, where when I see most of the committee are actually first generation of Indonesia. So my question is the strategy. What is the most effective strategy is to foster the nationalism and also to continue with the Indonesian culture, also the regeneration. Are we doing it from the first generation through the diaspora organizations, or we are actually setting up like IDN youth, you know, is starting from the second generation? And also, the problem is what we have now, the second generation, they already blend with the local culture, right? Then they tend to join us because it's being pushed by the parents. So do you think the strategy of parents pushing the second generation to involve with the Indonesian cultural activity is a good thing, or we let them to do it from their heart? For example, I have two children. The first one is hardly understand Indonesian language, but hardly want to talk in Indonesia. My second one, which is still in high school, we don't expect anything, but suddenly he's starting to talk in Indonesian language. So from these two children, I can see two type of, you know, second generation diaspora. So yeah, Mr. Salut and Bu Shifa, is there any good strategy for this from the local, I mean from Melbourne, not from Indonesia, because I don't know what Indonesia can do with this, but I believe the society, diaspora society in local, like in Melbourne, for example, or Sydney, can do something about it.
Thank you, Pak Jeffrey, for the questions, and we kindly let Bapak Salut and Ibu Shifa to answer the questions, please.
Okay, if I may answer first, Ibu Shifa, please allow me. Yes, Pak Jeffrey, thank you very much. So I would like also to emphasize Pak Jeffrey is one of the very highly motivated diaspora in Melbourne. So one of the picture I saw before with the Trey of Ponorogo, Pak Jeffrey is one of the dancers. His background is Minahasa, but not stopping him to be part of the Jawa Timur or East Java culture one, which is very good one. Okay. Yes, indeed, is this one very problematic for us. I know that every time there are community activities with Indonesian diaspora, majority is still kind of like populated by the elderly one or the senior one. However, if you go to the youth association, like in Indonesia, for the first generation, it doesn't mean that already senior, but like they're originally from Indonesia as being a student to Indonesia, they do have like we call it PPIA. In America, they call it as PERMIAS, or in Canada, PERMICA. In Europe, it's still PPIA. But I observe that the circle of the composition is also still kind of like majority, they're still from the Indonesian background one, but they're really hardly outreach those who are kind of like who were born here and coming here, but also maybe from different country one. So yes, there are kind of like still a little bit gap between how to involve those the second generation. There are some opportunities in Australian context. For example, we have AIA, Australian Indonesia Youth Association, where they were maybe coming from mixed marriage, but those Australian who are interested in Indonesian study, we do have something like that one. But the main issue here basically is, I know that I do have also the teenager children. When I said like, why don't you join with PPIA or other one? They said like, culture a bit different. they're maybe like not, they are the same age, but the culture wise, they say a bit different. So sometimes like not, in Indonesian terminology, now is the height is different. Something like the click not clicking in that one. So I would like to say, like, if you want to kind of like involve them into kind of like more interest ones, give them the significant roles rather than just kind of like helping us to collect this or that one. But says like maybe they become the presenter, maybe they become at least kind of like they were having a role, major role, that's not only kind of like just very small role one. So maybe in the first one is being pushed, but later on they feel like that one. So that's what I said before. A role model is kind of like also showing us how we also kind of like very interested. So they may also kind of like looking at my parents also like one. So why should I even try that one? Another one is the peer pressure one. So if they didn't see their peer all involved, they're not going to join. So it's basically select one that's kind of like very influenced peer, and then they are the one who's kind of like asking them to join, rather than we as kind of like the first or the senior generation one asking them to come in. So that's kind of like the strategy that may work effectively. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Salat Muhyiddin. Now we move to Ibu Shifa Sharifa, please.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Mr. Jeffrey, for the questions. I think that Mr. Salut will be mastering this topic, but if I was asked to answer this question, how the strategy to sustain nationalism among youth diaspora, I think that they need to get experience because they are not experiencing the real life of Indonesian living in Indonesia. So the strategy to sustain nationalism can be done through the experiential learning. So for the example, by cooking traditional cuisines to introduce them the taste of Indonesia, and then by inviting the Indonesian dancer, the Indonesian artist to introduce about Indonesian artworks or Indonesian traditional dancing. So I think they need this experience, and this can be realized through the collaboration with the students organization in other countries in abroad, or with diaspora organization. So besides, it is a good thing to let our young generation mingle with the local culture. I think yes, because they need to adapt with the cultures other by the local community. But the important thing is they still hold their national values. I do agree with Mr. Salut that as a parents or as a family, they have responsibility to ensure that their children or their children have good circles, or the circles that can inspire their children to sustain their national values. So it is shared responsibility between the parents and the Indonesian community abroad. Well, thank you. I think that's my questions. My answer, sorry.
Thank you for your answers, Ms. Shifa and Mr. Salut, and thank you for Mr. Jeffrey for the questions. So we can conclude that the bottom line is that everything starts at home. Then we go hand in hand with the government, with the surrounding people, to maintain and increase nationalism of Indonesians, especially the young generation at home and abroad, through its education, parenting, and so on. So hopefully, no matter the world takes us, we can keep the nationalism, not only on this 8th Indonesia's Independence Day, but for good. So thank you so much for today's sources of the day. Ms. Shifa Sharifa, the lecturer of Jakarta State University or UNJ of Pancasila State Ideology and Citizenship Education Study Program. And Mr. Salut Muhyiddin from the Indonesian Diaspora Network for New South Wales, Australia, and all of the participants for joining us on this webinar, the Insight, Young Generation Insight on the 80th Indonesian Independence. But to end this webinar, I'd like to maintain this nationalism as well by saying a pantun or rhyming poetry, because Indonesian events is really incomplete, isn't it, without pantun, consisting of 4 lines, and usually every line we say cakep, or in English we can say here great. But because we want our listeners worldwide to understand it, let's change this to great. So could I ask for all of the sources and participants to say great in every line?
Yes, great.
Yes, great.
Okay, great. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. Yesterday, I bought a jar.
Great.
I bought it in Palangkaraya.
Great.
Artinya.
Oh yeah. What does it mean? No matter where we are, let's always unite for Indonesia. Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, once again for joining us today's webinar, The Insights, Young Generation Insight on the 85th Indonesian Independence Day. Once again, let's unite for Indonesia on this 85th Indonesian Independence Day and more Independence Day celebrations. Thank you. I'm Rahma from Voice of Indonesia signing out, and I'll see you in another edition of webinar presented by Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
The Insight. Connecting all voices.
Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRINN.
Malu.